Welcome to the Empower Up Podcast. I'm Jeremy Boren, Gray Matters Brand Manager. And today we're going to be talking with Professor Suraj Srinivasan. He's a professor in accounting and management at Harvard Business School. And what Professor Srinivasan studied was how non-technology firms are adopting digital technologies and what that means for their value, especially their value to stockholders. So what he did was he looked at the entire universe of publicly traded companies. He looked at their recordings of their earnings calls and other materials, and he looked for any signs that the company was embarking on a digital transformation. He did that by picking up specifically on keywords like artificial intelligence, big data, cloud computing, machine learning, and of course, digital transformation. And then he tracked how those companies fared in the stock market and looked at other signs of their value for stockholders. And he found some really interesting things, definitely some positive correlations. But if you've been listening to companies and what they're doing, there's no shortage of people talking about these topics.
And they're going through a huge digital transformation, and the U.S. federal government positioned ourselves as a company that can help our customers with the digital transformation,
but also for the continued electrification and digitalization of our offering.
We've really been building back-end big data analytic capabilities now for a couple of years.
Big data, yeah, that's sort of used a lot now.
We're trying to recruit people who have been through a disruption in the past and can lead us through the new disruption.
There is just so much going on in companies adopting digital technologies of the kind relating to cloud, data analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and so on. Keeping in mind that digital adoption isn't a new thing. It's been on for several decades at this point. You know, even if you go back to the initial wave of internet technologies in the turn of the century. But what we are really looking for now is this kind of new wave driven a lot by computing power and cloud. Looking and talking to companies and CTOs and managers about the extent of digital technologies they are trying to bring in and the issues that they are facing made me wonder about move beyond the anecdotal into much more systematically trying to look at what companies are doing. That's what got me interested.
So was it just wanting to get at that idea of value creation?
In this particular research project, yes. And the broader agenda, I'm studying many different aspects of digital adoption. One of those is how companies change when they start pulling in more and more digital technologies. How do employees respond to that? How do incentives inside organizations change? How do training and compensation and behavior of employees change as they start adopting more digital? But in this particular project, I've been hearing a lot from investors as well about how they try to understand companies and the uncertainty that surrounds the transformation around digital technologies. In this particular case, the research project is to understand, first of all, how many companies are doing this in a material way that they then come out and start talking to investors about it. How does it matter in terms of how investors and markets are understanding and evaluating this? And finally, I think to me, a very important thing is, at least in the immediate term, how is it actually helping companies? How is performance getting? How is this adoption getting reflected in corporate performance? When is it better? What are some things that companies can do or be mindful of as they adopt digital technologies to actually give them a kick up in performance?
And I think one of your findings was that when there is an improvement in performance, it's not right away. It takes some time to materialize.
Absolutely. In fact, there are a few interesting findings there. One is that, as you pointed out, that there isn't an immediate overall effect in performance. What we do find is this interesting divide that there is, on average, an improvement in efficiency, in use of your other assets. And that's somewhat intuitive, I think, because as you bring in digital technologies, the use of your other equipment inside the company, of your marketing sales force, of, imagine even your transportation fleet, let's say, improves because you're now able to manage your assets in a much better way, given all the information that you can collect using the digital technologies, all the planning you can do, all the improvements that can fall in place. So that's a very good and interesting finding, is about how adoption of these technologies is helping companies. What is interesting is that this is almost balanced by what companies are giving up when they adopt. So corporate profits overall, so if I take total return on assets or any other measure of corporate performance, that's actually not moving. And what we're finding is that some of these gains, companies might be giving up to customers. So there is still a value addition in the overall chain, but the question is who gets to keep it? You can imagine all the restaurant companies which are really jumping in a big way in adopting digital technologies. There is app ordering, there is digital inside these firms, but a lot of the benefits are going to the users, to in this case, people who eat or order from the restaurants, so to the customers. And so at least the initial findings is that while efficiency and productivity is going up, the margins are going down. And that's overall impact on performance is not immediately evident. Though, you know, one can argue that there is definitely a benefit for society in because, you know, customers are benefiting from this.
Well, sure. And did it matter the type or the industry of company with that particular finding? You mentioned restaurants, but if it's like a manufacturing firm or a transportation firm, did that change what was happening over time?
Yes. It sort of, there is variation across industries, especially the industries you mentioned, but in a few others as well, in manufacturing more generally. There is this improvement in productivity that happens over time. The other important thing to note, you know, talking about the performance impact, is that there's a clear, I said overall, there's kind of an offsetting issue about productivity improves, but margins go down. This is not true. And there is an actual overall productivity increase when senior managers, and by this I mean that among the top five executives of the company, you know, CEO and four others, are digitally savvy or digitally qualified themselves. And we do this by measuring a few different things. For example, there is the CTO or a VP of technology among the top five people. In other words, if you are implementing digital and are truly bringing it to the top of the organization, which means that it is now flowing through strategy in all different ways and implementation in all different ways, then there is a substantial increase in overall profitability as well. So to me, that's what I was hearing as I was pursuing this project. Whoever I've talked to would say that, you know, in my organization, we talk digital, but really it's not present at the top. In other cases, they would say, you know, it's present at the top and therefore it makes a huge difference. And we can see that in the data as well.
Right. And you were able to determine that by comparing companies that had I think you called it a tech manager at the top, as opposed to those that didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, many, many companies have tech managers, a CTO, a VP of technology, a VP of digital, you know, of some sort or the other. The question is how empowered and how senior are they in the organization? And so that's what we call kind of digital managers. Not that there is someone in the company, but are they senior enough?
And they can act.
And that as an indication, that use that as an indication of how important, you know, you can talk the talk, but are you walking the walk, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess, you know, it kind of takes me back to one of the first key findings is just that non-tech firms are increasingly adopting digital technologies. So just overall, you're seeing companies do that, and it's just it's different how they're going about it, and you know what priority they're giving to it, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, just to give you a sense here, so we are only talking about non-technology companies, not the you know Googles and Amazons of the world. We're talking about companies that are traditionally not defined in the technology sector. We've all anecdotally heard these examples of companies that are doing this. And the question, as I said at the beginning, was to study this systematically. So just to give you a number here, 4% of companies in 2010 talked about any of these newer wave of digital technologies in their annual reports, 10-K filings, or in their conference calls with analysts, so about 4%. That over a period of 7 years in 2017 has increased to almost a quarter of all publicly listed companies. And so that's a pretty, and if you plot this in a graph, you'll see this exponential hockey stick kind of figure. Essentially, more and more companies are doing this over time, and these numbers are going up pretty dramatically. So yes, the adoption has increased. Not only has the adoption increased, what we are using this way of measuring rather than surveying companies and going and talking to them is because now I can look at every company that is publicly listed. And that's in thousands. The sample is several thousand companies. And the numbers I just told you, about a quarter of them are actually doing this in a material enough way that they are bringing it to the attention of investors in different forms.
Right. And I just want to highlight, too, how you looked at this. It's not like you chose really esoteric terms to pull out of 10-Ks and from, discussions with investors. I mean, we're talking about words like analytics, digitization, things
artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Most people, would recognize those. It's not like a super technical word or list of words that you use. Why did you choose those terms?
Exactly for the reason that you're talking about. Are companies, this is our way of identifying who's doing this in a meaningful way and who wants to communicate this to all their stakeholders, analysts, investors, in fact, others as well, who look at these kinds of corporate disclosures. So this is words like, big data, cloud computing, machine learning. And we also look at the context. I mean, once we've identified these words, we read the paragraphs. Where they're appearing and make sure that they're actually talking in the right context about these things. Absolutely for the reason that you mentioned, which is that it is now moving from, we're doing this thing in one corner of the company to these are things that we are adopting widely enough. These are, in a way, sort of common things that that companies are doing, and they're describing it in fairly common parlance for anyone reading to understand.
Right. And your study kind of casts this as a bit of a way to control for things. But you make the point that these technologies are being talked about near the point of adoption. So they're being discussed before anybody could really know if they're going to have a positive impact, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It could be that one only starts talking about these adopting these technologies when it's already successful. Try to understand that in several ways. First of all, like you just said, a lot of these things are talked about as they get initiated. We have a few examples that we have mentioned, not to call out a particular company in a positive way or anything, but there are several examples. Korn Ferry, a recruiting consultant, rolled out a talent analytics platform and started talking about it, not 5 years after, but the year when they rolled it out. And there are several other examples like that. Target, the retailer, for instance, started talking about their investment in AI to predict sales and improve inventory stocking and so on. And I know from other contexts that, they started talking about this fairly early on as they are doing this. So yes. And in fact, like I just talked about, we are actually not seeing overall immediate performance impact from these things. So it's not like companies that are disclosing are only the ones that have seen a performance impact. There are offsetting performance impacts in this. So companies are talking about it as they're doing it as a way of telling investors and others that they are trying to get on top of these new technologies. And there is a learning curve in these technologies for sure. Understanding, and that's the other part of my research, is trying to understand how the organization grows around data and uses of data so as to actually get a bigger bang for the buck.
Sure. And I mean, it's listed as one of the conclusions that it's important to disclose, the digital activities. Why is it important, from a manager's point of view to make that disclosure?
So one of the findings that we haven't talked about is how markets and investors are actually valuing this. What we have found is that adopting digital technologies is being seen as a sign of growth and growth prospects. And valuation levels of companies are rising, pretty substantially, between 7% and 20% in some of our findings. The valuation of firms that are adopting digital for even the same given level of earnings. So it's not like your earnings are jumping up right now, but markets are seeing this as a sign of future growth. So that's one big reason to start talking about it, because you can start capturing the benefits, the valuation benefits, stock price benefits from adopting these technologies. The second thing, which is equally important, is that while markets are valuing this higher, the entire value is not coming immediately. So it's not like you go out and start talking about it and lo and behold, your stock price goes up 20%. Markets are also somewhat discerning. The value goes up more when you see corresponding evidence soon enough. So for example, improvement in sales growth. When improvement in sales growth happens simultaneously with adoption of digital technologies, there is a signal that actually this is working for you. And so, as you would expect, there's a lot of uncertainty when firms start doing digital transformation. Is this going to work for them? Do they know what they are doing? Are they bringing in the right people? How is competition going to react? And all kinds of issues come up. So talking about it more, taking markets into confidence, disclosing the appropriate amount of information, obviously not revealing your competitive intelligence in the process, but disclosing the appropriate amount of information to counter this uncertainty seems to be helping. Because otherwise what we're finding is that even for those companies that are starting to do this or starting to adopt digital, it actually takes at least up to 3 years for the full impact of valuation to manifest. And you might be able to make that process shorter, bring the benefits, get the benefits quicker if you are communicating appropriately.
I'm guessing it's the case too that some companies just, they have more upside potential, because I think one of your findings too was that one of the reasons that a company undertakes digital, technology adoption is because of some weak performance. So they must view it as a potential solution.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't expecting to find this. I thought the ones that would actually be leaders in adopting are the ones who are already doing well, have a lot of resources to pull in, and are in terms of performance ahead of the pack. We found the opposite. The ones that are, certainly, larger companies are doing this more, but the ones that are adopting this are younger, and companies with weaker performance are going digital sooner, perhaps as a possible response to this competition and needing to use the incentive probably is more for the ones who are doing a little less well to start adopting digital sooner. So yes, that was an interesting finding for us.
And you found a somewhat higher concentration of digitization happening in manufacturing, financial services industries. Any reasoning behind why those three, or manufacturing in particular?
There is a big move once, the cloud sort of migrating to sort of the manufacturing sector, the ability to digitize and measure on the shop floor, the Internet of Things becoming more sort of industrial IoT. I think manufacturing companies are seeing the benefits, and that's a place when you can, when you're trying to implement digital internally inside the organization or on the shop floor, you control a lot more of the parameters as opposed to only introducing it in the customer facing sense. So my hypothesis is that digital implementation in the manufacturing sector actually can ramp up much faster than digital implementation in the in the consumer facing world, perhaps because you control a lot more of the internal parameters than you do externally. But that's my hunch.
Sure.
That's my hunch.
Informed hunch, anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have specific examples of companies? I know that there were some in the study, and you looked at so many. Did you actually look at the universe of the sample and individually look at the change in valuation in companies to that granular level? Or was it more an aggregate?
We did. I mean, we have granular data for every company, and the statistics I'm talking about is averages across all these companies. I can give you a few examples in the manufacturing sector. I mean, for example, one of the companies that we talk about is Caterpillar, a manufacturer of construction equipment. Caterpillar's has been making significant investment in automated analytics and diagnostics. And, you know, they started talking about it around 2015. And the impact on valuation was pretty dramatic, even in that year. The common metrics the finance world uses are a couple of them. One is called price-to-earnings ratio. And the price-to-earnings ratio went up more than almost 25% for them, from 15 to about 19 when they started, you know, in that year. And of course, there are so many other things that are going into this.
Sure.
But it coincided along with that. Another interesting way of thinking about this is as you report your earnings, how sustainable do we think these earnings are? So let's say you reported a change in earnings this year, a positive change in earnings. Do investors think this will continue to grow in the future? And that dramatically improved for Caterpillar's by about 250%, which means that every additional dollar of earnings now investors think is so much more valuable than the dollar of earnings improvement that you might have suggested before. Another example in the manufacturing sector is Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle manufacturer. And in their case, we noticed that as they started talking about using crowdsourcing and data analytics in their marketing development to come up with, you know, new designs and so on, their productivity, the asset productivity went up by about 20% soon thereafter in a couple of years. So just a couple of manufacturing examples where we saw pretty substantial improvements soon after. But there are several others, and I don't have too many examples at the top of my head, but there are several others like that as well.
Sure. Were there any other surprises or anything else that was counterintuitive? I know you mentioned the one that, companies that were trying to spur on from weak performance, but was there anything else that kind of surprised you?
Well, I told you about how important it is to have digital managers at the top of the firm. And what was surprising to me was how many did not have, even when you're talking about doing digital, there aren't people at the top of the firm who are doing this, who are digitally adept and who have titles which suggest that digital and technology is now at the senior most levels of the firm. And that to me seems like an important gap in companies today. This conversation is not getting elevated to the highest levels in the C-suite. And that was a bit of a surprise for me, to the extent that there was such a dramatic improvement in performance for the company that are actually able to do that. So one important takeaway for me is that if you're ready and if you're already embarked on this digital transformation journey, it's very important to empower the organization at the highest level as they do this. The second, of course, is that there actually isn't immediate payoff. But I want to interpret that carefully. The fact that there isn't immediate payoff doesn't mean this isn't benefiting firms. I mean, in fact, if you think about why are investors rewarding this so handsomely by a 20% improvement in valuation when they are not seeing an immediate change in performance, and one could think of this as kind of a puzzle that one has to reconcile. And the way I think about it and the way I think the data shows is that investors are seeing this as an indication of growth potential. And valuation is driven both by profitability and by growth. And if your customers are happy with you, then greater profitability and growth will come in the future. And that's what markets are foreseeing today. So I don't know if I call it a surprise, but it was intriguing to me that there isn't an immediate uptick in profitability, but there is wisdom in the investor crowds in a way that's able to see the future growth that's going to come from this. And even managers who are not seeing an immediate improvement in profitability don't have to get disheartened. You know, as long as they are seeing that customers are getting happier, satisfaction is improving, and if you're actually able to pass on the savings to your customers, that's that's as good as seeing an immediate improvement in profitability, and more gains are to come in a way.
Well, Professor, I really appreciate you taking the time today, and I encourage everybody to check out the study and also the story about it in Harvard Business Review, which is where I found it, and I'll make sure to link to that.
No, excellent. No, thank you. Thank you for your interest in this. I really think this is an important area, and I'm glad to have sort of initiated some conversations about this.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Empower Up podcast. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us some feedback on how we're doing and give us ideas for what we should cover in the future. And if you'd like to read more about what Professor Srinivasan is studying, you can find more information about his work under the title Going Digital: Implications for Firm Value and Performance. And it's featured in the Harvard Business Review. And just a reminder, Transform 2019 Gray Matters Industrial Intelligence Conference is coming up very soon, July 30th through August 1st. So please follow us on LinkedIn to stay up to date on everything that's happening at the conference, and be looking ahead for some more podcasts from the conference. Thanks.